بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حق حمده، والصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقالوا لن نؤمن لك حتى تفجر لنا من الأرض ينبوعا أو تكون لك جنة من نخيل وعنب فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا، أو تسقط السماء كما زعمت علينا كسفا، أو تأتي بالله والملائكة قبيلا، أو يكون لك بيت من زخرف أو ترقى في السماء. ولن نؤمن لرقيك حتى تنزل علينا كتابا نقرأه، قل سبحان ربي هل كنت إلا بشرا رسولا. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the 15th juz in Surah Bani Israel, towards the end of the Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that the kuffar of Mecca, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they once sat down around the shade, in the shade of the Kaaba, and they began to talk, and they sent for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented himself at once, hoping that maybe they were calling him so that they all want some guidance, meaning that they all wanted to convert to Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously wanted this. This is the exact reason he was sent to, you know, the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. I have not sent you except as a giver of glad tidings and a warner. So the mushrikeen of Mecca, rather, you know, their intentions were skewed. Their intentions were different. That they did not want to actually convert. Rather, they tried to figure out some excuses for not believing. They began the conversation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that, you know, you have created a lot of discord in the people of Mecca. That, you know, a brother doesn't even look in the eye of another brother because of what you have begun preaching. You know, a father has been separated from his son. A mother does not speak with her daughter. All because of what you have been preaching. You know, if it was that if you wanted wealth, then we would have made you the most wealthy of our nation. If you wanted the woman of our nation, then we would have given you everything. If you wanted, you know, power, if you wanted kingdom, we would have given you all of the kingdom. But rather you have rejected all of this. And this is what happened in the end. Now, this is our terms. Meaning this is what the mushrikeen have came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said that these are our terms. And they began giving excuses. Not just any excuses, but they started giving demands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists some of their demands in Surah Bani Israel. وَقَالُوا, referring to the mushrikeen of Mecca, they say that لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَضِّ يَنْبُوعًا. You know, everyone has a certain capability, that we're all human beings. So we have obviously a limit, you know, skill set. If I ask a person who has expertise in computers, I'm not going to ask him about the intricacies of the human body and how do you do surgery on this and that, because obviously that's not his field. Vice versa, I'm not going to ask someone who is skilled in medicine, someone who does surgery day in and day out, about, you know, the intricacies of a computer. You know, how does programming work? How does web development work? How does coding work? I'm not going to ask a surgeon about that. Neither am I going to ask an engineer about, you know, computers or medicine, because everyone has their own specific skill set. Just like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously was sent as a warner and a giver of glad tidings. He was sent as a man, not an angel, not a superhuman. Rather, he is just like us. The only different thing was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him risala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him as one who would spread the message of Islam. Right? That's why he's known as Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you see, the kuffar of Mecca, they did not understand this. They thought in their deluded mind that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wanted us to convert, then why didn't he send us an angel? If he sent us an angel, then immediately we would have believed. If he sent us someone with supernatural powers, then we would have easily believed. They say, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ. We will never believe in you, ever. Until, حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. Until you literally cause like springs of water to gush forth from the earth. تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. Rivers from the earth, it has to burst out. You should be able to do that, just by your hands. تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. أو تكون لك جنة من نخيل وعنب فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا. Or you have a very special garden made of date fibers, date palms and grapes. A very special garden. And not just made of these type of fruits, but rather in between them a river also flows. فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا. Abundantly, excessively. A river has to flow in between them. This is the demands of the mushrikeen. That, you know what, we're not going to believe in you until something like this happens. They know that something like this won't happen. So the Prophet ﷺ already knows that the mushrikeen have a filter of kufr and inad, meaning transgression, tughyan, before they even say something. Means that when they're saying this, they know that this is not going to happen. And on top of that, they have kufr inside of their hearts. They have a sort of sickness inside of their hearts. Right? Their demand of a garden made of date palms and grapes with a river flowing in between. Very specific. أو تكون لك جنة من نخيل وعنب فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا أو تسقط السماء كما زعمت علينا كسفا. Or literally make the sky fall down upon us in pieces. كسفا. Just like you say, كما زعمت. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إذا السماء انشقت. When the day will come, me referring to the day of Qiyamah, when that day comes, the sky will literally split. انشقت. Right? إذا السماء انفطرت. Right? In the past, Qawm al-Shu'ayb, what did they say? They say, فَأَسْقِطْ عَلَيْنَا كِسَفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. They literally told Shu'ayb alayhi salam that, you know what? If you really are a messenger, إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, if you're actually someone who says the truth, then make the sky fall upon us. They're literally asking for the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if what you're saying is truth. A nation says, فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Literally, you know what? Rain upon us stones, if you're actually saying the truth. Rain, like they're literally asking to be destroyed, meaning that they know it's not going to happen. What you're saying is completely false. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if you keep rejecting, and I actually send the sign upon you, then there will be no turning back after that. That after you see it, مُعَذِّبُ I'll punish you like I've never punished someone before. You see, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, إذ قال الحواريون يا عيسى بن مريم هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء. In Surah Ma'idah, the followers of Isa alayhi salam, they asked him if they can send a table spread from the sky for them, right? Then Isa alayhi salam, إذ قال اللهم هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء تكون لنا عيدا لأولنا وآخرنا وآية منك ورزقنا وأنت خير الرازقين. قال الله. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa alayhi salam asked for the dua. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send it down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ, that I can easily send this for you. But فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ, if someone disbelieves in the sign after I even send it, فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ, that after you see the sign and you still reject it, then I will punish you in such a way that I've never punished anyone before. Because now I have shown you a direct sign. And if you reject, if anyone disbelieves after this, then they are destroyed. This is the same thing that happened with Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Same thing that happened with Salih alayhi salam. Salih alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him a she camel, a naqa. And what happened to the naqa? Fa'aqaruha. That they killed it. And what happened to the qawm of Salih alayhi salam? They were destroyed. Thamud was destroyed. As we mentioned 2 days ago, that Salih alayhi salam, his nation was destroyed. Hud alayhi salam, his nation was destroyed. Shu'ayb alayhi salam, his nation was destroyed. Lut alayhi salam, his nation was also destroyed. Musa alayhi salam, his nation was also destroyed. Meaning the qawm of Fir'aun. Everyone that followed Fir'aun, they were also destroyed. Even though, it was read in Surah Taha today, that, you know, he was shown the staff which turned into a snake. He was shown the white light that came from the bosom of Musa alayhi salam. He rejected in all of that. He said, this is sihrun mubin. This is just a clear magic. He rejected in that. What happened to Fir'aun in the end? He was destroyed. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that look, they're asking for this. After that, the ayah goes, أو تسقط السماء أو تأتي بالله والملائكة قبيلا. Or bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels face to face. If you're actually saying the truth, we won't believe until you bring the angels down, and you bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala down, and we see them with our eyes. أو تكون لك بيت من زخرف أو ترقى في السماء. Or you have a house that is made of ornaments, made of pure gold, زخرف. أو ترقى في السماء, or you literally ascend to the sky. But you know what? We still won't believe you ascended to the sky just because you say so. Because there's obviously the controversy of Isra and Mi'raj with them. They did not believe in the ascension of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the physical body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ, right? Glory be to the one who has literally taken his servant on the night journey, Isra wal Mi'raj. The night journey from Makkah to Masjid al-Aqsa and from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied in this. So he said, "Oh, tarqa fi sama, wa lan nu'mina li ruqiyyik, and we won't believe even in your ascension. Hatta tunazzila alayna kitaban naqra." Subhanallah, their demands are very specific. They want the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a verbal confirmation will not do. He wants the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam literally to bring a book written and signed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that he actually ascended to him, so that they can read. Naqra, qul subhana rabbi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to say that, "Glory be to my Lord. Hal kuntu illa basharan rasula." That I'm nothing but someone who just, a man who warns. Basharan rasula, a man who is sent as a messenger. That's all I am to you. I'm not someone who has supernatural powers. So two things we can learn from this. The first thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a warner. A warner specifically of something that would come to someone if they don't believe in his message, which is Islam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So it is our job to not find any excuses when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so, to do something specific. We can't find any excuses. We can't say that if it was like this and this, then I would have certainly done it. Right? If Taraweeh was maybe earlier, then I would certainly have done it. Right? If the fasting was a little shorter, then I would have certainly done it. If it was like this, then I would certainly have done it. Right? It's just situations don't allow me to. Do not make excuses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make excuses for the deen. Do not make excuses for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him on the front line, put himself on the front lines for us. So it is our job to at least follow what he says. You know, it's going to come on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at his hawd, right? His fountain. That's a very specific thing that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be given. Amongst other things, the hawd was one specific thing that given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will hold out his hands to quench our thirst on that day when everyone will be very thirsty, and then the angels will drag us away, right? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be saying, "Why are you dragging him away? He believed in me," because the angels will say that because after you have left, these people have completely went against your command, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself will turn away from us. So we have to seek refuge on such a day, for something like that to happen upon us. So we have to believe in whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. The second thing we learn from this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of the hadith narrated by Ibn Jarir about all the mushrikeen in Makkah in the shade of the Kaaba, right, talking about all of the excuses, towards the end of the hadith, it mentions that it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he walked away. He's like, "You know what, there's no use." He walked away from this gathering. And then it was said to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "You know, if I really wanted, and if you want, I can give them everything they're asking. I can give it to them just like that. If they want a garden, I'll give them a garden. If they want a house made of gold, I'll make 10 houses made of gold. I will do everything for them, if you want to. But the thing is, that if they disbelieve after that, then I will punish them. لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ Such a punishment that I've never punished someone else before like that. If they disbelieve in the signs. If you want, I'll send this. Just know that the drawback is if they don't believe, then they're going to be destroyed. But if you want, I won't give them this, but I will keep the doors of Tawbah and the doors of Rahmah open for them. O Prophet of Allah, O Nabi Allah, what do you want?" And he said, "Please keep the doors of Tawbah and Rahmah open for them. Because I feel that if you show it to them, then they will be destroyed. And even though they, you know, they obviously, they punish me and then they hit me and then they revile me, I don't care. I still want the best for them. Because they don't know and I know. Right? They don't see and I see what's coming. And I don't want that upon them." So we see that not only should we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we should also, you know, hold them to a high status. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ There's no other better role model that we can have other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was sent as mercy for mankind. Mercy for all of the worlds. So this is a perfect role model for us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on that day when everyone will be thirsty, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not reject us. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to live lives according to the sunnah and according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dictated in the Quran. Ameen rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi wa shallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khairan.